former NHLer, now analyst on TSN, Ray Ferraro, joins us once again. Ray, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, did you see that that thing on, since you're game showing it up here, on Wheel of Fortune, that guy that won $45,000?
Oh, yeah, where, yeah, a lot of people thought it was rigged because, yeah, what was the...
He had three letters out of, like, 17.
Yeah, wasn't it, it was like a baby. It had something to do with a kid.
Something baby buggy or something, yeah, or other.
Yeah. And he nailed it?
Yeah, he nailed it. And then, his reaction was... Well, geez, I didn't, you know, he almost didn't, he looked like he knew the answer and wasn't surprised by it. But then the other people are like, well, why would Wheel of Fortune have to rig anything? Those guys have huge numbers all the time for such a simple game.
Yeah, I don't know, lightning strikes once in a while. Yeah. Maybe I'm naive, but give the guy the $45,000 if he can come up with that.
Yeah, hey.
I was looking at it and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that one was pretty fun. Well, there was the game show. Remember the movie where it was about back in the day when game shows first came out and they were giving the guys the answers in advance, kind of like the early thing of Jeopardy. There was a whole movie on it. Yeah. So, because
I probably get the answers wrong anyway.
Get them, yeah, that's the thing.
Do you ever try and cheat on a test and then you get the one of your buddies gets the orders wrong the order of the answers wrong? And the teacher would say to him, you got 3%. Because you got every answer wrong. And you'd be like, but how did that happen? He's like, you were one off. Oh. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, busted. Yeah. True story. I remember in high school one time, I'm not very proud of this. We were in social. We had a teacher who was very laid back, not necessarily just kind of a whatever guy. And so we were in the class and we were like, yeah, I saw three cats. 3C, of course. So guys are trying to share the answers. One of our buddies refused to cheat. He refused. He got the highest mark out of all of us.
Sure.
So lesson learned there. Cheaters never win.
Actually study and you might get the answer.
Exactly. Ray, I want to get your thoughts on the Oilers and how, you know, Calgary seemingly, I know one game doesn't change it, but I just look at how Calgary's battled all year long compared to the Oilers. And because of their blue line, you could argue they might be ahead of Edmonton in the rebuild. What do you think?
I don't know if they are or aren't. I do know one thing. When I watch Calgary play, they seem to have all bought into team above everything else, and I don't see that in Edmonton. What I still see are a bunch of young guys who think it's the way that you win is to outscore everybody. And so every shift is about scoring a goal. And I know in theory that's what the game's about, but if you don't commit yourself in the defensive end of the ice, and it's clear these guys don't, even though they may think they are, that you spend too much time there, you give up too many chances, you give up too many grade A chances, and you can never outscore that much. And then when you look at what ends up happening is, because you spend time in your zone so much, you get worn down, and you don't score as much. The Oilers' numbers, offensively, they're not this juggernaut that people, you know, with a casual glance at the Oilers may think offensively. They don't score. They don't score anywhere near enough for what the grand plan is here of the high-skilled flying Oilers, the rebirth of the mid-80s teams. It's not working. I mean, that's what I think when I see the Oilers. Until these guys figure it out, and I don't understand that if you're making $5 million or $6 million, what does it matter if you get 31 goals or 24 goals as long as your team wins? What difference does it make? It's not like before when we were all playing for bonus money half the time, too, that you could make 50% of your salary in bonuses. Well, then I would get why guys would cheat offensively. I just don't – I don't see it. I mean, there's a myriad of problems here, obviously, but – the biggest thing is that for me, structurally, is that this team doesn't quite understand how to win. And that's, I think, is pretty clear. And in Calgary, they work hard and they seem to think that the harder they work, the better chance they have to win. And they've all bought to it. And guess what? They don't have 50 wins, but I think Calgary's done everything they can with the roster that they have.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're getting the most out of their players, Ray. And you say, and I've said this all year long, I don't think the players here in Edmonton know what it takes to compete hard enough to win in the NHL. It's different than competing hard in junior or even in the American League. So how do they learn it? Or do they just have the wrong mix and got to get rid of those guys who don't know it already?
Well, when I said earlier there's a myriad of problems, I mean, that's it's not just one thing, because if it was one thing, you'd just fix it. I don't know how anybody can't look at this Oilers team and look at the construction of it and say it's wrong. It just is. I mean, you can't have 12 forwards that are 6'5" that can't skate, and you can't have every one of your top six forwards that are 6 feet and under and 185 or 90 pounds and under and expect that that's going to work. It just doesn't. Look around the league. Who's got a mix like that that works? It doesn't. You know, you need somebody to retrieve the puck. You need somebody to grind a goal out. Well, they're not going to grind a goal out. When's the last time you can remember the Oilers scoring three or four goals over the span of a couple games where they were all gritty, dirty, greasy goals from their top six? Nope, they're all passing plays. And guess what? You don't get many of those. So in my opinion, if they want to fix this summer, they have to make the hardest decisions that you can imagine. And they don't want to make them. I mean, who wants to make them? But they have to look at that group of Hall and Eberle and Nugent Hopkins and Perron and Yakupov and go, we can't keep them all, because if we do, clearly we don't have the right answer here. If we need to get better defensively, or if we need a better mix, who are we willing to move? Because they have, I just don't see any way around it. They're 29th. They seem surprised and outraged and shocked that fans threw, that one guy threw a jersey on the ice. Man, for most of these players, it's 1 or 2 years. Maybe that fan's been there 8 years. And he's like, uncle. You know, I want something to cheer for. And I don't, they haven't been able to do it yet. They haven't been able to make that big step yet. Everybody that they added, guys, from July 1st on, they tried to get bigger, you know, with Uentsu and Gordon and Hendricks, Mark Fraser. They're all bottom six forwards, Gazdick. They're all bottom six forwards and a depth defenseman. None of them have the abilities to make a huge impact in the middle of that top group. If your top two centermen are Gagne and Nugent Hopkins, how are they ever going to hold their own on a consistent basis, even though they think they can, against Joe Thornton and Logan Couture, or Ryan Getzlaff, or Andrzej Kopitar and Jeff Carter? Like, how are you going to do it? You've got to have some balance to the construction, and they just don't have it.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. You would look at the return, and obviously whoever could get you the best return likely is who you'd be moving out out of Eberle or Yakupov, I'm guessing, or Gagne and such like that. Because, you know, I look at Taylor Hall, Ray, and I know some people were, you know, upset about the water bottle incident. I wasn't one of them. I think players and coaches get into it all the time. I don't think it's a big deal. But him and Nugent Hopkins are really the only two, because you don't have any depth down the middle. You probably can't look at moving them. Or do you even consider those two being moved?
I've read enough times, year to year, we're 29th. We'll look at anything. I mean, you have to have a plan. You can't just start trading guys all over the place. You've got to have a plan of what you want to look like. But I don't even want to throw out a name, but what if a team offered a very top-end defenseman, and they wanted Taylor Hall in return? I'm talking about a game changer. Yeah, I'd look at it. Like, how would you not? Next year, they have the potential to play four kids on defense. Marinson and Klefbom, maybe Darnell Nurse, the draft and they end up with Ekblad.
No.
How do you think, pardon me?
No, please, they can't do that. I think it would be suicide.
Yeah, I mean, like, how would you expect to compete with that group?
Yeah.
They might be good players in 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to get steamrolled.
Yeah.
And so the only way, that's why I say I believe the Oilers have to make the most difficult of decisions this summer. You can't anymore say, we've got it right, because they don't. They're 29th. This was the year, remember, back in September, we're going to play meaningful games in March. Not this year. Again. And it's got, it's, it, I'm sure they're tearing their hair out. I mean, it's not like they're sitting there going, oh yeah, another year went by the books. I'm sure they're crushed. They're disappointed. They can't believe it. But the fact of the matter is, this is where they are. And what do you think the next 10 days are going to look like here if they don't play to the very best of their capabilities? Look at their schedule. I mean, it's not going to get much better.
It's ugly.
Well, not when you're losing to the 30th and 26th place teams, getting outscored 11-2. No.
No, I mean San Jose, for some reason, you never really know at points in the season, and this seems to be one of them, what you're going to get. Now, Couture doesn't look like he's playing tonight, so Edmonton catches a little bit of a break there, but that's a hell of a good hockey team. And, you know, that's going to be tough. Anaheim's going to be difficult. You know, it depends what you aspire to be, because right now I think the Oilers have to aspire to be a playoff team. Don't worry about the Stanley Cup. That's in another galaxy.
Yep.
You've got to get yourself to the dance first. And they're a long way from the dance. I look at them there. They got to be three defensemen away. They need a stout centerman in their top two. They need at least one winger that can play, that's got size, to at least one, probably two. And they've got to do something with a third line. Their third line right now, Hendricks and Boyd Gordon, while those guys do their job, that should be their fourth line.
Yep.
But they're asking a lot of those guys. And, you know, Boyd Gordon's flattened out. You know, we had that great start. That's the cycle of a 10-goal scorer. Mm-hmm. You know, Craig McTavish used to say this as a coach, that, you know, a 20-goal scorer, sometimes he looks like he's going to get 40, and sometimes he looks like he's never going to get another one. And right now, I mean, your third line should be your fourth line. So, I mean, there's no shortage of players they can bring in, but you have to do it, I believe, you have to do it with a plan. You've got to slot in, okay, we need a top six winger. How do we get them? Okay, so let's look around and identify who's available. For my third line, let's look at players coming out of their entry-level contracts in the American League. Maybe we can sign a couple of those guys that maybe can't play in the organization they're in, but maybe we can get them and they can play on our third line. Look how many guys are just dying for the opportunity, and then they show up somewhere and you go, oh, where's that guy been? He's 25. Oh, he's been in the American League 5 years. There's players there.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to identify them, and then you have to fight for them. And one of the things those players want is a chance. And that's where a team like Edmonton can really mine gold in the American League or in Europe with players that just want a chance that someone else might overlook. If they don't overlook them, they might find a couple of third-line guys. And you go, oh, a third-line guy. Man, a real solid third line would really help this team too.
Ray, one last one for you. Looking at the wild card, and you know, it's just come out recently, and I know that was the rule, but a lot of us misinterpreted that St. Louis, like I always thought the wild card was essentially in place. If the fifth place team in one division was better than the fourth place team, they could cross over. But in fact, St. Louis, if the playoffs started today, St. Louis would play Phoenix, who would move into the Central, and Minnesota would then be in the Pacific Division. Do you like that, or should it just be kind of like the CFL, so you only go out of your division if you're better than the fourth place team?
Yeah, I was, when that clarification came out, I was like, man, am I glad somebody never asked me about that on the air, because I would have had that screwed up three different ways. I just thought you slotted in, and that mm-hmm. was it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And so clearly, I got that wrong, and no, I don't like it. Like, how do you, so you just morph into this other division, and that becomes your new home for the year? It doesn't make sense to me. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe it'll all turn out great, and in their grand vision, they've got it right, but it seems kind of odd to me.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. What games are you doing this week, Ray?
I'm here, obviously, here tonight, and then in Calgary tomorrow for Anaheim. So kind of looking forward to seeing Anaheim, haven't seen them play live in a little bit of time, and I always enjoy the Sharks. I think they're a good team, and they're a good bunch of guys, and they, you know, the last time through Edmonton, of course, they got goose-egged, and so I'm sure they'd like to change that again. And I'm interested to see, like, I think the Oilers will play well tonight. I really do, because they were thoroughly embarrassed the other night. And most times when you get kicked in the pants like that, you find some inner resolve and you play a pretty hardy game the next night. And I'm sure they were, since the horn sounded to lose 8-1, they've been wanting to get back at it and try and rectify that.
Well, Ray, you're thinking like, I went and looked it up. 9 times the Oilers this year have lost by 4 or more goals. 9. But they're 6-3 in the next game. So,
now, I guess that's the old silver lining.
Yeah.
Because there's 9 of them. 9 times they've lost by 4 goals.
Yeah, 9 times. 4 or more.
Yeah. I wasn't great with math, but that's a lot.
Now, when you're negative 36 in 9 games, that impacts you a lot.
Yeah, that's a tough hole to dig out of, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Ray, we'll hear that on the game tonight.
Yeah, hey, you might. Hey, perfect.
Do I have to copyright you?
Sure. Just say some bald guy that you don't like. That'd be good enough.
Some guy that wears really loud shirts.
Nice. Perfect. Then they know it's not Rashog, that's for sure. So that's good.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're watching our pregame show, this is all about Ryan today. He's got interviews. I think he's juggling halfway through.
Oh, nice. Nice.
You know, he should anyway. He's on there the whole time.
Yeah, he should. Good for him. All right, Ray. We'll see you at the rink.
See you later. Bye.